Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson, and this is another episode of The Checkup with my man, Brandon Kennard.
How you doing?
My brother. Man, welcome back, man.
Appreciate you.
Man, I love that we get to do this. It seems like once a quarter or so. Mm-hmm. Maybe I think we missed the whole summer. We got to do this at least once a quarter, man. How's life?
It's been a lot. A lot of new opportunities. A lot of new blessings. I think before we talked about I was doing a lot. And I'm still doing a lot, but it's now shifted. I'm at Crespi now, coaching on the varsity staff there. I'm still running or partnering with my boy Brooks with Cali Wave. We're still doing that. And then also I'm coaching the seventh grade PG team, the national team. So it's a lot of different hats, but it's all basketball. And it's a blessing to be able to do just basketball. Man. Like I enjoyed how last year I was doing core, working throughout the day. It would be basketball, and then it would morph into a lot of different things. But now is literally when I wake up, it's basketball all throughout the day. So this is different, but it's fun though.
No, 100%, man. When you can make, when people say ball is life, I think they use that term wrong, but you can use basketball for this life. And I think 100%. That's what you've been able to transition into smoothly, brother. So congratulations, man. And I think it just shows your growth and development and navigating the space the right way, man. Mm. That's the tough thing is being able to move up and position yourself to get opportunities that at the end of the day always help the kids.
Right.
And I think that's what it's about at the end of the day. So
100%. And I'm learning too. That's the other part. Like I'm in these spaces that I'm in, I'm learning from great basketball minds. So like I'm in a position to be learning and serving. Yeah. Like, so it's like I'm serving and being served. So that man, it's beautiful.
Man, that cup is running full.
Man.
And then you get to pour it out.
There it is. That's it. No, it's good. Good space.
That's dope, man. Same, you know, for me this summer, man, did a lot of traveling. Was, man, super blessed to be a part of the Nike Elite 100, the Nike Skills Academy. I went to Peach Jam, just did a bunch of Nike events and just being able to evaluate talent, be a coach on the floor as well, learning from tremendous minds. Like, man, that Skills Academy ain't no joke, man. NBA coaches, some of the top basketball consultants in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in this room, and for a moment, it's very humbling. Let's just say that, very humbling. But I think people don't understand what you're able to do if you stay true to yourself. Keeping God first in my personal experience, and not afraid to ask questions and to see what rooms you could sit in. You can be able to elevate your game. Shout out on the podcast. We're back, y'all. Go check that out. But, man, this has been a summer of growth. It's mm-hmm. been a lot. You know, I also coached AAU, that the team that you're now a coach of. Right. Congratulations. and got to experience that for my first time in maybe 7 years mm-hmm. of, staying off the sidelines completely. Like, I haven't really coached many teams. And seeing that AAU world, man, you live in it now. Tell me about it, man. What's your your thoughts on where AAU is, and how do you guys at Cali Wave specifically like navigate it to make it the best situation possible for development?
So, the culture of AAU, I have to be honest, I don't like it very much. I really don't. I see a lot of prioritizing winning over development. And I say this probably everywhere I go, just because I'm such a believer in developing the kids first. And just specifically at the youth level, the tiny youth level, fourth grade, fifth grade, not having those kids learn man principles is just the biggest pain point for me. It drives me insane. Yeah. Like, I just coached this past weekend. We were playing against a team that was significantly bigger, significantly more athletic, significantly better. And they sat in 2-3 zone from the beginning to the end. And I'm just watching. I'm like, what is the purpose? Like, you guys will win the game regardless. Like, it was obvious. Why not get these kids to learn how to help, how to rotate, how to, like, I just.
I'm going to tell you why. Coaches don't know how to coach it. That's the problem, is that we have unqualified people coaching teams for the benefit of either their son or other people's kids, or to make a dollar who I don't even say you have to play in order to have the experience to coach, but there's no licensing. There's no classroom. You literally can just go make a team with somebody pay for a tournament and enter a tournament. There's no qualification for these coaches. Some people are starting to have like background checks, but there's no process to showing that you know how to teach kids how to play basketball, at the same time develop them off the court as well.
Right, and I think the issue also is it's so lucrative. Like, there's ways to do it where you can make a ridiculous amount of money. Like, one of those ways is like stacking teams with 10, 12 guys. You asked me about like prioritizing development. That's something that, like with us, we make sure we keep the rosters like as small as we can. I think one of the hard parts with that is if, say, you get an 8-man roster, we only have 8. All right, we're playing this weekend. 2 kids get sick, right? Like, it's ridiculous how many times kids get sick on that weekend. They've been at school all week. They get sick. Boom, you got 6. So-and-so's in traffic now. Now you got 5. And somebody gets a foul trouble. Now you got 4. So I get the other side of it, of having bigger rosters, but I've seen situations where like kids don't get in the game. Like, and I don't think that that's fruitful at all. Like, if that's the case, just be a practice player. Like, just come to practice, keep getting better until you're ready to play in games. Cause if you're not gonna get those reps, what are you in AAU for? It's not like high school, college, you know, like this is AAU. You're literally here to either develop and or get exposure. Right. You don't get either one of those sitting on the bench. So what's the purpose? Go play on a different team, maybe within that program, a lower level, or a different program or whatever. But
be on the court, man.
Yeah, like, and be in a position to be able to make mistakes. That's something I know for me, I've recently learned in coaching the, 'cause my son is a fifth grader. So I'm just now getting to that younger space, and it's more about encouraging them through mistakes, opposed to losing my mind when they make mistakes. Like, because at the higher levels, you know, there's less tolerance for certain mistakes, but with those little kids, it's like, hold them accountable, but encourage them. Like, encourage the thought. I see what you was doing there. I mean, I do that with the older kids too, but like really with the little kids, it's like, are you thinking the right thoughts?
Yes.
That's really all that matters. If you make the shot, miss the shot, turn it over, whatever, were you thinking the right thoughts that are going to lead to success later? So that's kind of been, I recently learned that. because we went to Vegas, went to Nationals, and it was crazy. It was, these kids were 2 feet taller than us. It was insane. And then, and it was a really highly competitive environment. And it made me take a step back, like, wait, we got kids crying and stuff. And it's like, is this really healthy for these kids? At the time, they were in fourth grade. I'm like, no, this ain't it. Let me take a step back and lean more into teaching and encouraging. And they're getting better. Like, you're seeing the fruits of it. We still want to be highly competitive,
right?
For sure, but not at the cost of developing the kid and the person. Like,
100%.
Tearing them little kids down, man, it can impact them as people.
Yeah.
Like, and I see that with my son sometimes. Like, he's impacted by, like, his self-worth is so tied into basketball because that's all he does. He's addicted to it, probably because that's all I do. But it's like, son, like, you are not defined by what you do on the court. On the court is just a showcase of who you are. So focus on the character. Are you working hard? Are you making the right plays? Are you being a great teammate? That's what I've been on with him. Not so much how many points did you score?
Right.
I mean, I want to say it doesn't matter if you won the game, but it does. Like, you know, we care. But it's just those little things. That's kind of where I've been at.
No, it's interesting because on the other end, right, that's a younger developmental team that you're dealing with. But I was dealing with a high-level team and dealing with the same things as far as emotional IQ and being able to handle situations, highly competitive environments. And what the few things I learned, right, is that, one, kids will learn what you teach them. Mm-hmm. We only played man-to-man.
Right.
We didn't play no zone. We picked up and pressed a few times, but it was a man-to-man press, and taught them those principles. And that's what actually kept us in games against teams that were more talented and more athletic, was because we knew how to play man-to-man, and these kids didn't know how to play against it because they're used to having space. But also, the environment is one of, I'm going to call it exposure, because you can get exposed. And so those kids are always worried about their mixtapes, their highlights, pleasing their parents, looking down the court for that, rather than just living in this moment, taking it play by play, next play, working on getting better. And I try my very best to keep them locked in. I have no problem. Hey, man, don't look on the sideline. Look at me.
Right.
I'm coaching you. Are you going to sit on the bench? And thank God I had amazing parents who accepted that, you know, accepted that accountability from me. And it wasn't in a disrespectful way. It was in a way to, hey, I'm preparing you for high school. I don't care if you're in fifth grade, sixth grade. I'm trying to get you ready for whatever next level you're at. Before you get to high school, I'm preparing you for high school. Your parent can't save you from the high school coach when you go to a really good high school.
Correct.
You're gonna sit down. And that part is, the other part that I did like, though, is like, usually when you think you're dealing with some highly talented kids, the parents are ones that give you trouble about basketball. There was a few isolated situations where I was like, okay, that was too much. We addressed them and we talked about them. We had a conversation about it, and it was cool afterwards.
Right.
But for the most part, the parents were accepting to the coaching because they could see their kids developing. And I think that's where, if you give parents that dialogue and that conversation in the beginning, that, hey, let me develop them, watch it, you guys have to let me coach,
trust
the process. To them is, I'm in the gym working with my trainer. That's what trusting the process is nowadays, is I'm working hard and all that, not I'm learning how to play basketball the right way.
Well, I just had a talk with a parent, and I was explaining kind of the how to pick who you want to play, who you want your child to play with. And I was telling them, I'm like, most people just look at the basketball. They say, I'm going to look at the basketball. Oh, this is good basketball. Oh, the players are good. Oh, they're getting exposure. I'm going to put my kid there. But they don't take the time to look at the human being that's running it. They don't take the time to evaluate the character of the leaders. And I think, like, if I'm placing my kid with somebody, you can get good basketball a lot of places. Like, if you really look, if you know where to look. But it's how good of a quality are the people that are in charge, and are they prioritizing developing your child? Like you were just talking about, like, trust me to lead your kid. If you trust the person, if you like the person, the human, that makes that process easier.
Yeah.
But if you're only there for the basketball, now it's a transactional relationship.
Yeah.
Like now it's, as soon as my kid gets benched, as soon as the play is ran for this kid instead of my kid, like now I got a problem. But if I like you, I rock with you, I trust you, now I'm gonna say, okay, there's a reason for that. There was a reason my kid didn't do this. Maybe my kid did something wrong. Now you're looking, we're working together to help the kid instead of me and the kid versus the coach.
Yeah.
And I've seen that too many times where it's the kid and the parent versus the coach. And I've been that coach and I'm sitting there, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, do you trust me or not? Yeah. Like, I don't strong arm anybody to play for us. Do you trust me or not?
Yep.
Plain and simple. And if you don't, that's okay.
Yep.
But what's not okay is for you to stay and not trust.
Yes.
Like that's not gonna work in any relationship.
So it sounds like a bad relationship. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be accusing this person of doing stuff every single day. You need to get out that relationship because apparently something is not right.
Yeah.
Or fix it.
Right.
Like you said, conversation. Let's work
have
on
a
it.
Solution.
Let's talk about it. Let's, as long as we both have the unified goal of getting this kid better. That's all it's about. And it's crazy how they win. All of that we just talked about, like, they end up winning. Like, if you do it the right way, they will win.
Yes.
Might not be today, but they will win on the back end. Like, but it's a process. It requires a lot of trust, patience, and maturity.
Yeah.
That not everybody has.
Not every man. I kind of want to segue this into, because I think a big part of that, you said, when people, the trust is in the basketball and not the person.
Mm.
So even if the trust is in the person, sometimes the parents, or even the kid, or sometimes the coach, don't even understand basketball.
Mm, that's true.
How do we simplify basketball in a way where we all get on the same page? You know, because they want what they're working on with their skills trainer and their individual talent to show up in a game, when the truth is most of the training that's happening isn't what you're actually doing in the game, when the 95% of the game when you don't have the ball.
Correct.
Probably even higher than that, when
Correct.
You don't have the ball. How do you break basketball down to a fundamental level that everybody could be on the same page about?
So there's this page, it's called The Film Room on YouTube.
Okay.
I religiously watch these videos because the way, he's a former college coach, he just breaks everything down in such a simple way. And I found this thing, it was called The Gap Theory. And for me, it wasn't necessarily that it was new stuff that I learned, but it was just the way it was put together that brought all my thoughts together, because this is exactly how I see it. It was, the first part was great spacing, which everybody knows that. You wanna have spacing on the court, you wanna have great spacing. Then it's create mismatches. And that can be off of, I feed somebody in the post because they have a mismatch. I have somebody on me that can't guard me, whatever it could be. There's mismatches, there's so many ways to create mismatches. From creating the mismatch, you then make two guard one. Whether, okay, he can't guard me, I'm blowing by him. Boom, help, rotates over. Two guard and one. The next phase is, he said win closeouts, but I like create closeouts and win closeouts. Because if I have the mentality of create a closeout, create a long closeout, I want to create that long closeout on the weak side, which kind of ties into make two guard one.
Yeah.
I make that pass, and that last step is win the closeout. You can win the closeout by hitting a wide open shot. I won that closeout. Or attacking that closeout. Somebody helps. Oh, two guard and one again. I create another closeout. Boom. So if you ever watch, when people say, that's beautiful basketball, if you watch, guaranteed there's some long closeouts in there.
Yep.
Like somewhere in there, there was a scramble that was created because two guard and one, at some point, they made the right play. Instead of doing what you do in skills, I beat my man in the Euro, finish this way, miss, you know, this way, whatever it is. Like, that's what we work on. But like you said, like the good basketball, that great basketball is make two guard one, make the right play, trust I'm gonna get it back.
Yeah.
I saw something about the Grizzlies. There, some D3 coach came to them and then he changed what they were doing, and it was like revolutionary.
No ball screens, no DHOs.
It was different. and it didn't work. Ja didn't like it because it was he had the ball less, and but it was good basketball. And I was looking, I'm like, man, I wonder what would happen if a player like Ja actually embraced it and was like, I'm gonna trust this system and trust that the ball will find me. Like the Warriors, I saw Draymond said some quote about, like, Kerr told him when he was putting in that, you know, more free flow, he's like, well, how Steph and Klay gonna get their shots? He's like, no, the ball will find the right people.
Yep.
And it does. Yep. Like, the ball will find you. And it's trusting, oh, I'm gonna make two. Imagine how many times Ja can make two guard one. Every single possession.
Right.
Literally every single possession.
Yeah.
Get off it, move, relocate, maybe get it back. If not, that's okay. I just got a great shot. Guess what? Now they can't help. Now I'm putting them in the rim.
Yeah.
Or now I trust that I'm gonna get it back. They're gonna create for me.
They don't. Like, people don't trust the progression. They don't understand that if you play the right way, things will open up for you.
Right.
To do what you do, and do what you do great. Is there a place in basketball? Because we see it for the one-on-one to getting in your bag, mm-hmm. and how does that implement into what you have, right? Because we watch NBA players. There has to be somebody who get in their bag and get shots.
For sure.
How does that translate down to the youth level? Does that matter so much on the youth level, meaning middle school and high school? And how does getting in your bag, because I'm still teaching. Your right. son got crazy handles.
Right, right.
That's right, true. You know what I'm saying? True. Like, how are you going to encourage him to stay in his bag, mm-hmm. but as well play within the framework of good basketball?
So I think it's the mentality before the bag. It's what is the purpose of the bag? I think right now, just generally, the purpose of having a bag is to put the ball in the basket. It's for me to take this ball and put that ball in that basket. And I'm going to figure out how to do that. But what if I have the thought process of my goal is to beat my man? Okay, once I do that, now my next goal is to make the appropriate play. Like, I'm using my bag to get here. Oh, nobody helped? One-on-one, that's a bucket. What coach is mad if I'm shooting a one-on-one bucket where I actually created an advantage and got a good shot? I mean, some coaches might be mad. I'm not.
No.
Because I have weak side action happening for that. Like, we pass, double stagger away. Guess what happens while that double stagger is happening? A double gap is right there.
Wide open.
Go ahead. But if they help, that's the part. But if they help. And that's the part that gets lost. It's like, no, I had space, coach. I was there. Yeah, but he rotated. And your man, you know, we're running a double stagger. He's still lifting. He helped. So what's the natural boom, get off that.
Yep.
Hit. Next time, they can't help. And now you know, like,
windmilling is crazy.
Yeah, right. Seventh grade. No, I've seen that.
No, I mean, me too. I actually started putting that into my training sessions with one of my clients. We make the same moves. Like, so we'll do the finishing.
Yeah.
And then I just have two reps of every pass he can make out of that move.
Wow.
Yeah. And so because he's playing at a high school where
I like that.
He's going to have to pass it, and he's going to, hey, something's not going to be open.
Right.
And I'm talking about just driving early kick. As soon as you see numbers, kick it. Okay, he's late, turn into post mode, swing it across the half court, turn baseline, make the hammer pass. He's literally working on all these moves as well with his passing, and he's bought into it. He understands that. You're right, I am going to have to make these passes. And everything we do now, the ball's only in his hands in the beginning for ball handling.
Right.
And I'm picking up rhythm and footwork. Mm-hmm. Rhythm and footwork and feel for the game. He has his go-to moves that he knows he can, you know, get in his bag if he wants to. But where he's going to high school, there is no bag. It is good basketball.
Right.
And so that I think that's where us as developers have to open our eyes. Like, it's cool that your kid could do all these crossovers and stuff in middle school and they get away with it and they actually get exposure from it, you know, getting posted and all that. But how much more important is it for a kid to come to high school ready to play in a system because they can do it all? They can score it, pass it, and understand the game.
Man, it's priceless.
Yeah.
And it gets them on the court faster because, I mean, if you're coming into a good program, how many times is the freshman coming in to be a scorer? Like, if it's a good program, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, unless
you got a dude.
Yeah, unless, you know, there's exceptions to the rule, of course, but generally, even a good freshman, at a really good program is not coming in to lead the team in scoring. Because how is that a good program?
Right.
Like they, so with that, if I'm a good player and I'm coming into this good program and I can play good basketball, but then I know I can get a bucket when it's the right time. Like now I can get on the court quicker and then show coach like, oh wait, he can get a bucket. Now maybe sophomore year, you getting more buckets than you would have got if you would have came in as a freshman just gunning.
Yes.
Oh, he don't know how to play basketball. He's not ready.
I actually heard this from Rabibo, coach at Hartford Westlake last week. He was talking about the value system. He said, my value system is based on what you're going to do to make this team win. Okay, man. you hit a couple threes. Great. I got three other players that can hit threes.
That part.
I don't need you to do that now. But if you can guard the perimeter and the post, now you're creating winning plays because of your defensive ability. That's the value system. So when you switch a kid's value system from scoring and being a bucket into making plays on offense or being a defender or being a rebounder or these little things, and it's just for a time. Because I think over time, your value system changes based on who's 100%. On the team and all that. So a freshman coming in, I was talking to some children today. I was talking, I love them so much. And we're doing a floater series, working on our skills. Floater series off of cuts. Got to be able to catch the ball, got to be able to make that pass, got to be able to finish over defenders, right? I know some of you guys don't believe in floaters. I don't care.
That's crazy.
I like floaters.
Right.
And they've done it before. Of course they have. They didn't, like their effort and their body language is showing that they're just going through the motions.
Man.
And instead, I'm actually on the other court. We're doing circuit training. I'm on the other court and I see them running out the corner of my eye. Instead of doing the drill or doing the development, right? And I said, man, what are y'all doing? What happened? Man, they ain't going hard.
Right.
What's happening? Why aren't you guys going hard? Don't you understand that you're always being evaluated? Even me being, yes, I'm your coach inside of this program, but when I talk about you, I have to tell the truth.
Ooh, because that's a good quote.
Because I'm responsible on the basketball floor for, how many kids is that? 90 to 100 kids that I have to tell the truth about. Because a coach is going to ask me about you, and I have to tell the truth, because if someone comes up next and I tell a lie about you, that coach isn't going to trust my word. Not only that, as hard as I work, everything I do is for these kids. My connections and resources and the people I know are so we can elevate these kids to the spot they need to be for them to reach their goals.
Right.
But if you're not working hard, I'm not going to talk about you. I can't. I'm not going to give you any credit for not working hard. Right. And I had to tell them that, man. It was a real moment. Like, you guys don't understand that even me, even though you see me every day, I'm evaluating you. And for those kids out there who think this game is easy and you don't like doing passing drills and simple footwork drills and the stuff that you've done already, I don't know. We talked about it before the show. You said that it actually gets more boring the higher level you go.
Yeah. Like, practice is going to get real boring. And if you can't learn to fall in love with that boring, this game ain't for you.
Yes.
I mean, there's ways you can go have fun playing basketball. The fun way, go out, get in different tournaments on the street.
They got one-on-one leagues now? Like, where you can make a bag? Like,
go
do that.
Go do what you want to do. I'm not saying basketball isn't for you. But high-level organized basketball might not be for you.
Yeah.
If you're not, I won't say you have to be in love with it, but you do have to embrace it. You have to be okay with it. You can't rebel against it. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Now, if you fall in love with it, that's when you go to the next level. Now you become beyond elite if everything lines up for you. But I think I see that too much where especially with these kids, like they rebel against that and they're like, this is boring. They don't say it, but their body language is saying
it. I had a kid tell me the other day, I was doing shooting. It was a straight shooting session with somebody. And so we just had to shoot. And I said, hey, this is going to be your warm up every day.
Yeah.
This is the shooting warm up that I take everybody through. And usually their shot gets better over time because you're doing these things every single day.
Right.
Literally started like, hey man, how come you're not following through no more? How come? He just kept on blanking out. He's like, man, I'm bored. And I said, you're bored fixing your shot? And you know, granted, he was 12. He's 12, right? So I know, right? But I was the same way. I didn't get serious about my shot till I was 22. It took me a while. Everything else I go hard at. Shooting, I would get shots up, but I wasn't paying attention to my form, my touch, and like all the details that I'm able to give a kid now from my years of experience. It's like, yo, I'm telling you do this now because I didn't do it.
Right.
And if I could shoot, I wouldn't be sitting here. Man, well, maybe at this age, now I'd be retired, but I would have made some money playing basketball. Right. And he was bored. And I'm like, hey, you better figure out. I was like, let's make this a challenge then. What music do you want to listen to while you do this? What's going to motivate you to want to do this?
Great coach, great trainer right there.
Trying to figure out what that chip is, what that trigger is to get them in love with the simple.
Yeah. Well, my response to it being boring is like, it's also boring to sit on the bench. Like, that's boring too. Like where I'm in a game and I'm sitting on the bench. I'm not getting any playing time. I'm in practice and then you got the white squad and the blue squad and I'm on the no squad, like, you know, that the outliers that don't really get the reps, like that stuff is boring too. So it's like, I get it.
Right.
But which boring do you want?
Yeah.
Do you want the boring that leads to success and the stuff that you actually want? Or do you want the boring that you can't control? Like that, once you get in that boring spot, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know if that's boring. That's just,
you know what I mean? You just
that's just not hooping, yeah.
Right, like you just and everybody's not built for that boring role on a team where you're not playing. Some guys still come and excel, and I love those guys that still work hard because those are the guys that are going to be successful in life. Like that's different. You got to be built different to be able to come to practice knowing you're not going to play. Like, you know, never, ever, you're not going to play.
Yeah.
And you're okay with that. And you don't use that as an excuse. Like, no, this is my game. I'm helping my team get better in practice right now.
Purpose.
Wired different. But yeah, like, I think that's something I have to get better at because I like what you said right there. Like, for me, if a kid would have said that, I would have lost my mind. Not like yelled at him, but I just would have been so, like, how do you not want to get better at this? But you found a way, like, what makes this kid click or tick or whatever, like what gets them going, and that's the beauty of it, is each kid's different.
And I don't know who I'm trying to figure out who taught me that though, because one, everyone has a purpose. One, everyone has an opportunity to work hard. You just have to figure out how to motivate them to get to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all know this, because he's doing well, Brandon don't like talking in front of cameras. But I knew if I sat down and just chopped it up with him about basketball, that it wouldn't matter. You don't even know the cameras are there because we just talking hoop right now.
We just having a
and we talking life, right?
Right.
Sorry, now I'm putting you on the spot. But
no, I'm good. We in it now.
So you find that thing to push people to their bigger purpose. If a kid's goal is to be a shooter, I got to, man, what? Do I have to show up every day? We have to do this. I have to do this every day with you for the next 3 months? Let's do it. Do I have to get on you every single time that, or do I have to reward you? Like, the middle school team over the summer. Hey, if anybody takes a charge, I'm getting you socks.
Right.
Everybody start taking charges. Oh, whoa.
Right.
If you take a charge in the game, I'm getting you shoes.
Whew.
Man. Yeah. Got two people who took charges.
That's good.
They got some jobs now. You know, like, it happened. So, cool. You have to find that thing. And I think we as adults expect kids to know the things that we know way earlier than we knew them. I was listening to a coach today talking about ball handling. He's doing for him, he said, between cross, behind, double cross. No, I'm sorry, between, behind, double cross. That was the next progression in the ball handling. Most of the kids messed it up. They go to the other side of the court, and he's like, I don't know how hard this is for you guys. It's just between, behind, double cross. And I'm like, that's easy for you because you're 25. Mm-hmm. You've been doing that, and I've been training you for 10 years of your life.
Yeah.
So that's easy for you because we've been doing that forever.
Right.
This is their first month.
Yeah, being exposed.
That's their first time maybe ever doing that combo.
Right.
And you're saying, how hard is it? It's actually hard for them. And I was like, man, I didn't say anything to him, but it was like that thought in my mind, like, ooh, man, I gotta really check myself. Mm. What we're expecting these kids to know without breaking it down and teaching it. We gotta expecting these parents to know how to raise a student athlete when it's their first time. Mm. My parents didn't know. Mm. They knew it with my brother. He went to go play D2 football. They figure out with my sister, she went to go play D2 basketball. Mm-hmm. With me, my older brother didn't play. With me, I had a D2 offer, and my dad told me not to take it. They learned from me, and like my brother said, hey, yo, go take that.
Yep.
Go take that. That's where you're at. Mm-hmm. So my whole existence right now is educating the kid that I'm working with, educating the parent I'm working with, educating the coach that doesn't know, mm-hmm. and being that advocate, and if I don't know, I definitely have a resource that does. And actually, that's what my book is about. So yeah, I have a book coming out. It's called The Blueprint Guide to Getting Recruited. It just talks about coming from the youth ranks all the way to being recruited for college. And it's a step-by-step guide. It talks about development, talks mm-hmm. about how to navigate the AAU world in detail so parents have some type of idea and not stepping into situations. Too many times parents step into situations where they don't know.
Right.
And I wanted a quick reference guide that you could go to, say, hey, how do I choose a high school? Mm-hmm. It's in the book. How do I know if a college is recruiting me? It's in the book. How do I know if this trainer is good? It's in the book. Right. Literally a reference guide that anybody can use to how to navigate and get a kind of a roadmap for your player. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to focus on. I do not like ignorance, right?
Right.
And ignorance is sometimes like they make it such a terrible word, but all it means is that you don't know what you're talking about, essentially. Like,
it's an opportunity for learning.
Just, man. And so don't be ignorant, get the book.
Right.
Any final thoughts? Message to the people in this season of your life, as you we're transitioning from the end of the summer into the mm-hmm. fall, and with life and basketball.
Just take advantage of the opportunities. God opens up doors in the right moments for the right people, and it's up to you to step into that and take advantage of that opportunity. Don't, like what we were talking about with those kids that are not taking advantage of that opportunity, being a part of that program, being in front of you, being taught by those coaches is an opportunity. Have that attitude of gratitude each and every day. Come in and like be like that kid that we were talking about that's not going to get any playing time but comes to practice every day and gives his all. Imagine if the starter does that. Imagine if the captain does that. Imagine if the coach does that. Imagine if the athletic director does that. And it just, you know, if everybody's doing that, like, the world would be a better place. I know that sounds cheesy, but like, make your impact in your lane. Take advantage of your opportunity, because you never know when those opportunities will be gone. Like, no opportunity is promised. And that's just, for me, that's how I go about it. Like, even big opportunity, small opportunity, don't matter. Yeah. I'm taking advantage of it.
100%. Man, we appreciate y'all for tuning in to the checkup. Coach Brandon Kennard, man. Hey, good luck on your season. Good luck with the AAU, man. Keep growing, keep getting better, man.
Thank you, appreciate you.
Yeah, once again, we appreciate y'all for tuning in to the checkup, man. We're gonna try to do this at least once a quarter, man. So we're gonna check in right before or during the beginning of the mm-hmm. basketball season. And check out, hey, Elevate Your Game. Season 3 is here, man. It's bigger and better than ever. And look out for some other content that we have coming out, man. We love y'all. See y'all next time. Peace.